And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this. Hey, it's July. We should probably start talking about Gopher football again, because I believe it's something like, I don't know, 60-something days now until it. No, it's got to be less than that. It's going to be like the 50s now.
Yeah, I think it's in the 50s. But we should mention, we'll talk about this a lot more later, but we're brought to you by Homefield. Homefield makes apparel for you, a Gopher fan. And if you're a fan of other colleges, they have retro Gopher apparel, they have retro college apparel there as well. But most importantly, it's for you, for a Gopher fan. Launching the 10th of July. Boy, I can't talk tonight. No problem. We're going to get there.
It's been a while.
And yeah, it's all part of their big season 2 on Saturdays. So make sure that you check that out. Use Gopher Gridiron to save 15%.
Yep, 15% off your first purchase. So we got a lot to get to tonight. It's one of the episodes Luke hates the most that we do each and every year, because it's position by position. I'm going to get through the offense here with about a month until training camp begins. We're also going to talk a little bit of recruiting. It was a big recruiting month for Minnesota in June. And we'll also talk about the news of the day, which was unfortunately Mr. Football from the state of Minnesota a couple years ago, having to medically retire. Nobody tell Liz Kroll. Did I say that out loud?
Okay, so this is news to me. Jason Williamson medically retired.
He did, which is, it's been in the works for some time. Like, this is not coming out of the blue. So Jason battled a knee injury, I believe, senior year of high school, even after he rushed for something crazy, like 3,000 yards and 50 touchdowns with Gatorade Player of the Year. Was Mr. Football, and then he gets early enrollees at Minnesota. He's looking good for the first 2 weeks of spring ball. And then the practice before the big spring scrimmage, where I know Kirk Shiraka was one that was like, I think this kid's going to be something for us. Tears his knee.
Yeah.
Second knee injury in 18, 24 months.
Yeah.
Rehabs all the way back from that. And then here in early 2021 in the winter, has a shoulder injury. And, a lot of surgeries. I mean, just a kid that has battled through a lot of surgeries between college and high school here in the last 3-4 years. And I know his father, Rich, I mean, he tweeted out tonight, you know, this was a very difficult decision and painstaking to make. He gave up a game he loves with big dreams. He decided what was best for him, and he's proud of him, and he's going to do great things outside of football. And I believe that. It's just, you know, the 1 4-star in-state kid, Gatorade Player of the Year. That, I mean, I remember going to a few of his games his senior year, and he just was at a different level than anyone else on the field. Just incredibly athletically gifted. I don't know if it was going to be running back, or maybe it would have been moved to a different position, but it sucks because I think he had a bright future ahead of him if medical things didn't arise. But yeah, Jason Williamson was away from the team here during spring ball, and he finally came to the decision here in the last few months that his best path forward is a path, unfortunately, not a part of the Gopher football team.
Yeah, I think the hard part about that is Minnesota's been able to get some high-star recruits in-state occasionally. Not all the time, but, you know, occasionally. And it seems like things just don't work out. And we don't need to get into that in more detail. But I know that that's hard for some people that follow recruiting, right? And additionally, Williamson, I think some people didn't have high expectations for, but like you said, was looking good, and it's just a bummer it doesn't work out. That's part of the game of football. There's natural attrition, unfortunately. Right. It just happens.
Again, there's nothing that Minnesota did wrong here. There's nothing that Jason did wrong.
Right.
Football is football, and he has a couple of non-contact knee injuries, then he has a shoulder injury, and it's just like,
I just want to,
that's
know,
the way the cookie crumbles.
I just want to know how this stat gets calculated for, you know, like the purposes of, you know, articles.
Medical retirement.
Yeah.
All I know is Fleck and staff are still below average in comparison to others in the Big Ten. So we'll see if CCO does a big, big story on this one.
But yeah, we'll have to
see. It's too bad.
That. Yeah.
Again, it's... Minnesota's running back room, it will be fine.
Yeah.
Still have Mo Ibrahim, Trey Potts, Cam Wiley. I mean, we'll get into it tonight. I still think things look very bright for the future, but Jason Williamson had one of the running back wise, he was one of the best running back prospects to come out of the state since, I mean, I'm probably going to be a little biased, and I don't know if you're going to remember him, Jay Thomas.
Yeah, I remember Jay Thomas.
You know, it's been a while, so it sucks, but you know, that's football.
Yep, it is. All right, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. You know, June in particular was kind of a big month for Gopher football recruiting. A number of commits. They had a number of, like, I think they call them, like, summer splash or...
The summer splash is what the official visit season was called.
Yeah, so, and the other big, probably the bigger thing was the fact that you could actually have kids on campus again. If you've forgotten, there was a global pandemic that happened that kind of shut that down. It even made, like, basically communication very challenging, right? It was a closed or dead period for a really long time.
15 months.
Yeah.
Way too long.
So, but everything's kind of back to normal, at least it was for the month of June, and there were a number of commitments. So we should probably at least touch on those in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota already had their quarterback committed in Jacob Knuth from South Dakota. Someone sounds like, you know, from, I got to see Jacob live at a couple of Minnesota camps that he was at. I mean, I'll tell you this, if Ethan Kaliak-Manis, who I've also seen in person, and he was at all the Gopher camps I was at, if Ethan and Jacob are any indication of the way that Mike Sanford wants to get this quarterback room going, it is big and it is athletic. He wants an athletic quarterback back there because, number one, he wants to use them more in the RPO system. He wants to get them moving around the pocket more, but and these are big athletic kids, man. I mean, Jacob runs like a 4.6, and he's 6'4", 205. He's got a throwing motion that kind of resembles to me like a catcher throwing the ball to second base, if that makes sense, which Jacob was a catcher for many years. Mm-hmm. And I know that Minnesota had a private workout with him. They feel very confident that they can fix that throwing motion, and all the athletic gifts are there. And that's where you also look at the running back for this class, Zach Evans from Rockwell Heath down in Texas. Not the same Rockwell school that Jacob Clark came from, I don't think. Boy, you're going to have to fact check that one for me. I think he came from the other Rockwell school. But, you know, Zach was somebody. It's interesting because with Knuth and with Evans, Minnesota is at the forefront in terms of offering. So they offer Knuth, and then Iowa offers essentially – reactionary offers 24 hours later. Minnesota offered Evans in early May, and then Iowa offered a few weeks later. And it's like, is Iowa just looking at what Minnesota's doing offensively and offering their prospects now? But either way, Zach Evans, 5'9", 200 pounds, a guy that isn't the biggest burner in the world, but it's a funny story because Zach Evans actually came to one of the Minnesota satellite camps that they were at down in Texas, and Minnesota sees him work out for a little bit. And then I remember Zach was telling me the story. He's like, yep, Minnesota saw me work out a little bit and other schools were starting to come over and they were like, yeah, you should leave because we've seen what we need to see. Like, I don't want anybody else seeing you. So we left because they thought he looked that good that they didn't want all these other schools at the satellite camp to see him. So again, he's a guy coming off it's a serious knee injury, but he didn't tear his ACL or his PCL or anything like that. Sure. So it was like a 4 or 5 month injury. He's got a very good offer list and someone that I know Minnesota is excited to add to their room. And then you look at the receiver position. I saw Kristen Hoskins live for the first time.
This is not the Alexander biggest kid, right?
Yeah. He's not the biggest guy in the world. I think you saw him in the state title game, but my God, is he quick. I mean, I remember talking to one of the Minnesota staff members at camp, and again, I don't know if this is 100% true, but I had a couple of guys come up to me and say, the hand-timed 40 that Kristen Hoskins ran today, they estimated they probably 40-timed 1,500 to 2,000 kids between the 10 to 15 camps they were at in June. They said Kristen Hoskins had the fastest 40. Now, again, I take that with a grain of salt because, of course, they want to hype up their own kids. But he was blazing. Like, he ran a 4.3 hand-timed. I mean, they showed me the freaking watch. I mean, he was blazing. So, I mean, he's incredibly quick. He is incredibly fast. And I'm just excited for him in the return game. No one gets more excited, Luke, about special teams than me. And if you told me he can just, like, take the kickoff or a punt return and he can just go – what are we even discussing at this point?
Look. At this point, that's obviously been a void for too long. Is too long right. a good estimate? But yeah, definitely. I obviously have some bias here, being from out there in the CLC country. So hoping to see this kid be successful. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. Like you said, small but freaky athletic.
Yeah, and then they also took a receiver from Baltimore, originally a Philadelphia native by the name of Ike White, a kid that they also, I don't know how this happened. Again, I just hear all this information kind of secondhand from sources, but Ike White, so from Baltimore/Philadelphia, with me, Luke?
Mm-hmm.
He flew out to a Texas, one of the SMU satellite camps that Minnesota was at.
Okay.
So they kind of met, I would say, the midway point, but Lord knows that is not the midway point. Mm-hmm. So they essentially were just able to have Ike White work out for them so they could get a live eval on him. Afterwards, they were like, yep, this is who we're going after because that was a really good workout, and that's what they're going to do. So they ended up taking Ike White. He's got a good offer list for all you people out there. Not the biggest guy in the world, 5'11", 180 probably. But a guy that they think is incredibly physically gifted. The name that has been kind of brought to my attention, and was also his host, was Daniel Jackson. Now, that's a good thing because Minnesota's high on Daniel Jackson. Daniel is your likely wide receiver 2 this year, and they think there's a lot of similarities in terms of Daniel's probably smoother in high school, but Ike is twitchier. So Ike is more sure. raw, but maybe there's a little bit higher ceiling and with what Mr. Ike White can provide. Then we also moved to the tight end position from your favorite city in Minnesota, Luke, Columbia Heights. I was talking with the Columbia Heights head coach, and I was like, when was the last time Columbia Heights had like a Power 5 football player? And he didn't know. So your guy, Howard Pulley's finest, Spencer Alvarez, from Columbia Heights, Minnesota, tight end, 6'7", probably 260, 265.
Huh.
Minnesota decided, I mean, this is the interesting take of the class so far, because he's coming off a knee injury. He tore his knee, I believe, in late November, didn't play basketball because of it, was recovering from surgery. I think he's going to camp with Minnesota here at the end of the month, so we'll see what he looks like then. But I've seen him in person at like 4 Gopher camps. He's enormous. I mean, Tony Nelson is a legitimate 6'6", 260 pounds probably. Spencer's got an inch on him. And you look at the two of them and you're like, Spencer, are you a tight end?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question.
Or are you going to slide into offensive tackle? I have no idea. All I know is he's 6'7", long as hell, and he's got a frame that he could – I mean, if he refines the frame, we're talking probably 260, 275. If he doesn't refine the frame, he can easily get the 300 and maybe he slides into play tackle. I have no idea. All I know is – Minnesota looked at the tight end crop around the Midwest and thought, this is going to be one of our tight ends. And if it doesn't work out at tight end, you're looking at offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already talked. I mean, Tony Nelson, was able to see him live. I mean, he's not a new commit. And then we kind of switched gears to the defensive side of the ball. And that's where the defensive line continue. I mean, somebody asked me the question today. I take it you didn't read my mailbag today.
No, that's not true. I did go on the website once today, but I literally went to post once. My post count's getting higher. Have you noticed?
You're more active now. I like it.
Yeah, I'm trying. You encouraged me and I'm trying, but I haven't, I do plan to read that after we record this, because I'm going to fact check you from what I listened to what I read.
Do it. I mean, I've answered, I think, like 30 questions about Gopher football recruiting. And one of the questions, and what I'm getting to, Luke, is the question was like, what do you feel most bullish about in terms of a position group? And I think I went with defensive line, both in the short term kind of retooling, but long term, certainly. I think Minnesota's defensive line room, the way that it has been rebuilt here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you win the West. Is you look at, especially you look at the 22 class here. You got to start with, I guess, we've already talked about, I mean, Trey Bigsby's not new. He's their highest rate of commit, a 4-star Gopher legacy. Shout out to you, Gobi. But then you've also got a kid from Pennsylvania that Minnesota ended up taking by the name of Anthony Smith, and he is a gigantic human being. 6'6 and a half, 270 pounds. And I would tell you right now, Minnesota would take the trade that it's essentially a trade. And what I mean by that, Luke, is Anthony Smith to Minnesota and Davon Townley to Penn State Minnesota it would take that 10 out of 10 times. Sure. Now, are they going to be right? I have no idea. Well, I'll tell you in 3-4 years, but I'm telling you, they feel like Anthony Smith can be a guy that can be what I think a lot of people hoped that Asezi Otemiwu was going to be. You know, the plan is for Anthony to be a 5 technique. We'll see how his body continues to change. I mean, I think I always try to make basketball references for you, Luke.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Anthony Smith pulled a Shaq the other week. Do you know what that is?
Pulled a Shaq, you said?
He shattered a backboard.
Yeah, okay.
He is quite the hooper. He went up with two hands, and he shattered a backboard. There's a lot of physical tools there. I mean, Minnesota beat out Ole Miss, Penn State, and a couple others, for Anthony. And they feel Chad Wilt feels very good about Anthony Smith here.
Let's get back to what you said there, which I think is important, though, earlier, is that you feel like the group you're bullish on is defensive line. One of the position groups or the two position groups that we felt that they have to improve drastically to be a contender in the West is both offense and defensive lines, right? They're going to be senior laden, very experienced in offensive line going in this season, but they're also going to be more experienced in the defensive line. And additionally, they seem to be recruiting the defensive line really well, very important to future success.
Yeah. And then there's offensive line where Lucas Hare goes to Stanford and Dalen Hessert goes to Iowa State. And I mean, this is something I've talked about with Minnesota is, we'll get into it tonight. I think there's a very plausible scenario, Luke, that all 5 starters could be gone after this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Schluter and Olsen are gone for sure. And then you have Will Andries and John Michael come back for their 6th year when their 2 roommates are leaving. Or do they test the NFL waters, or what do they do? And then you've also got Daniel Faalele, who the Senior Bowl has been tweeting about. I mean, if Daniel Faalele plays 13 games, Luke, there's no chance. There is zero chance that he comes back.
Right.
So the point I'm trying to make is that's 5 bodies that would be leaving. Minnesota's got 1 O-line commit right now, and we're getting into mid to late June. Now, there's still plenty of time. And that's the optimistic view of it. But it's just
let's pause right there real quick. Sure. There's a lot of time left. The landscape of how you recruit might change quite a bit, right? It's still evolving. So they could take a transfer because there's going to be Big Ten opportunities. You never know.
I am telling you right now, without a doubt, I would be absolutely bamboozled, gobsmacked, I mean, shooken, if Minnesota doesn't at least take 1 transfer offensive lineman. They are going to be incredibly active in the 22 transfer portal. So you'd be looking at from like January until May, trying to land some guys because, I mean, again, it comes back to kind of recruiting here now. You have like 1.5 commits, say. You got Tony Nelson, for sure a tackle. Spencer Alvarez, tight end, maybe offensive line. I have no idea. Neither does the staff because they haven't been able to see him live. But that's where, I mean, Dalen Hessert deciding that Ames, Iowa is a better fit for him than Minneapolis. A kid from Marshall, I can't blame him. I get it. It is what it is. But, I mean, you also have Lucas Hare, who's both of his parents are U alums, and Minnesota doesn't even get an official visit. Now, I get it. You don't want to waste their time if that's not where you're going to go. It ultimately came down to Stanford and Northwestern and what could you tell me about both of those 2 schools, Luke?
Academically, better than average.
Yeah, there's some of the top academic schools in the country, and academics was something he placed a high priority on, and that's where he went. But it's just like there were no offensive linemen that Minnesota offered in June from any of these camps, and that's where, from talking with some people that are familiar with Brian Callahan's thinking, they're not going to compromise and not going to offer a guy to offer a guy. And I can respect that because you need a quantity of bodies, ideally, in this class, but they also need to be quality bodies or else we're going to be running into like a Jack York and Grant Norton situation where you took like 8 guys and only essentially 2 of them panned out. Well, that doesn't help anybody here.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, when we look at, recruiting offensive line in general, I think they need to start hitting. Like, they have to hit.
They do. And so, again, I think Tony Nelson has a chance to be a guy that can be a special player here. I think he has a ceiling to be Lucas Hayer High. I mean, there's just a lot of athletic tools there, but they need more quality bodies there. Because if all five guys are gone, and I know a lot of people are like, boy, I don't see that happening. Well, say it does happen. You know, say it does happen. Minnesota probably had a really good year. Great. Everybody's happy, but you still need to replace them with something. So,
yeah,
you know, when you get back to the defensive line, you've also got one. I think this guy's going to be your favorite guy in the class. His name is Jack Pyburn, and who was the famous 80s Oklahoma linebacker with the neck roll? Oh. I remember watching a 30 for 30 on him, and his name escapes me at this point. I can tell you, if you're screaming at me while you're mowing the lawn or you're driving somewhere, I understand. This is terrible. But to be fair to myself, Luke, it was before I was born.
Yeah, well.
But I can picture him because Jack Pyburn has the thickest neck that I've seen on a recruit in quite a few years. He looks like a guy that should be wearing a neck roll out there. He actually plays Mike linebacker right now for the Bowl School down in Florida, which is one of the best high school football programs in the country. And the story is Minnesota got him to fly up to Minnesota from Florida to do an individualized workout, which is legal here in this 22 recruiting class. And they love the workout. They think, you know, from talking with some people over there, that he is incredibly physical, which is very evident off tape. And they know that they need incredibly physical defensive ends to play in the Big Ten West. He may not be the most athletically gifted kid in the world, probably shade under 6'3 and 250 pounds, but he's one of the best wrestlers in the state. And that's where you can't help but, you know, make comparisons between him and another rush end, Danny Strigo. So, and they want to add all the wrestling types they can to the defensive line room there. So, you know, we'll see how that kind of continues to play out. They're also still trying to figure it out at linebacker. They offered a couple of guys, but it was definitely one where, again, they're being picky because they know in year five now, you can't take guys to take guys. You need quality bodies. And if they're not quality bodies, you have a plethora of young young linebackers still. I mean, technically, these are all underclassmen still when you're looking at NCAA eligibility. Braylon Oliver, Josh Ani, James Gordon, Donald Willis, Devin Williams, Lucas Finnessy, Jaquandus Burns, Cody Lindenberg. That's eight linebackers that are either freshman or sophomore eligibility-wise still. So I think Rossi ideally would want to take one, but if it was the choice between, say, taking a third or fourth quality offensive line body or a linebacker, what are we going to do?
We're going to take an offensive lineman.
They're going to take an offensive lineman. But I think corner is the spot, or just the secondary in general. Because I think you could make the argument, Luke, you look back over the years where it's been a struggle in the secondary for Fleck recruiting. There's been a lot of misses. There's been a lot of transfers. And that's where you look at the corner room right now. It's like Coney Durr, Phillip Howard, and Justice Harris for seniors. Then Terrell Smith and a bunch of freshmen. Because there's been so much attrition. And that's where, I mean, they think they've hit a lot. They couldn't be more thrilled with these four defensive back commits they have. You got a safety for Harris Simiak by the name of Coleman Bryson. And I know from talking with Harris Simiak back when I was doing the interviews on Gopher Illustrated, he likes to take safeties. And I think this makes sense when you think about it. When you look at the physical characteristics or the playing styles of each of his safeties in the room, they're all a little bit different. He doesn't want to take the same thing over and over. Now, of course, if you could take six Antoine Winfields, you take six Antoine Winfields. But he likes to take something a little bit different. And that's where Coleman Bryson is 6'2", 195 pounds. I mean, he's an incredibly athletic kid. He won the state high jump with like a 6'6" or 6'7" high jump. That's 2 inches taller than me and like 14 inches taller than you, Luke.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You like to tell me you're 6'2". There's not...
I don't even tell you I'm 6'2". I'm 6'3".
Anyways, we're getting off track here. And that's where Bryson, I mean, he plays running back. He plays safety at his high school down in Georgia. They feel very good about him. And then the three corners. I mean, you get two big, long corners in Rylan Kelly and Aiden Goosby. Where Goosby had a hell of an offer list, Minnesota's able to beat out, you know, So I was talking with Goosby's high school coach, and he's like, yeah, my kid plays at Wisconsin. I go, oh? And it was a linebacker that Minnesota was after last year, ends up going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin offered Goosby probably 6 weeks ago, and Minnesota had just built a better relationship at that point. And he's a kid that plays both wide receiver and corner, 6'1", very long, very athletic. Same goes with Ryan LaKelly. And then you also have the speed demon that is Tyreek Watson, who is one of the fastest kids in the South. He is a 10.5, 100 meter. He's got multiple 4.3, 40s, incredibly speedy kid, someone that should add a lot of athleticism. They see him as kind of a nickel, maybe safety. You have Kelly and Goosby who play outside, and Bryson at safety. So I believe as we sit here tonight, let's see here. I think they have 13 commits. Yeah, let's see where they rank. Take out the composite because Rivals and ESPN are trash.
Do you have any bias there?
You know how many I haven't seen either one of them at an event I've been at. Anyways, yeah, Minnesota's got a top 30 class right now. So we'll, again, that's going to ebb and flow, but that's recruiting. Is they're still looking for, I think, another tight end if it would present itself, a few more offensive linemen if they would present itself, and then we'll see what happens at the linebacker position. But I think as you look at it here tonight, Luke, it was a very eventful month. Minnesota feels very good with where they're at, because I don't think they can take more than like
12, 16. 15.
I mean, they're already over right now. Like, I'm looking at the projected scholarship chart that Gobi does on the message board at GI, and technically, like, they don't have room for 13 right now. But the staff also knows, like, the transfer portal and the one-time thing is going to be big. So I don't know how it's all going to work out. I never know. Everybody always asks me that. I ask Minnesota that, and they tell me, Ryan, just relax. It'll work itself out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we should transition. But before that, let's do a little break. All right, Ryan, we are back for another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. This time we're brought to you by Home Field Apparel. This is a group out of Indiana. They actually, Indianapolis, Indiana, so in Big Ten country, they officially license apparel and have vintage collective designs for colleges. And here we are do you have a bag there, Ryan, of apparel from Home Field?
I do.
Did you actually get your package before I did? Because I live further north in Roseville than you do.
You live further west in Roseville than I do.
Oh,
I'm Roseville South, you're Roseville West. I'm not entirely sure. But as we record this, yes, my home field stuff got here today. I'm sitting here with my lovely better half. I have not opened the package.
Your better half is on the other side? Is she making her appearance here?
She is going to be making, I think this will be her first Gopher Gridiron Radio episode.
I think I'm gonna have to get my better half for this next episode that they sponsor.
Well, I figured we're dealing with clothes, and Lord knows I'm at the age now where I don't buy my own clothes. She buys everything for me.
I think we should mention before you open this, though, that Home Field looks through the archives of the history of our schools and comes up with very thoughtful designs. I know we can't talk about these in detail because it doesn't launch until Saturday, July 10th. We're recording this on Thursday, July 8th. But Ryan, could you just like open that box up and show me what you got? Because I'm really curious.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at that sweatshirt. Liz, how's the material?
Ugh, you know what a stickler I am for material, Ryan.
I can already tell you this extra large sweatshirt is not going to be mine. It is going to be hers, and it's going to be something I never get to wear. It's wow, that's a nice sweatshirt. Vintage Minnesota look on the front there with the lettering, and again, for someone who has a better half that is a stickler for how's the material? It's Liz, what would you give it?
I would give it a solid 10 out of 10, Ryan.
Seriously?
She's not lying. I mean, what does she care? She's not going to lie. What else?
No, I quite literally bought an impulse purchase sweatshirt last weekend because of the material.
If you're new to Homefield, you can get 15% off on your first purchase using Gopher Gridiron. We'll mention that, just way too many times throughout this episode. But
yes.
What else we have there, Liz?
What do you got on this one? So it's a t-shirt. Oh, my God. Look at that logo. Oh, my God. Luke, can you see it?
Yeah, I could. Oh, that's good.
That's wonderful. I mean, all these, I can already tell you, this is one. I think it's your size, too, isn't it? These are all vintage, one-of-a-kind. I haven't seen these logos before. Again, I've only been here 28 years on this planet, but it's for myself and Liz, who was even, what were you, an admissions ambassador, too, with you? I mean, she's seen it all there, and I don't know that either one of us has seen some of these logos.
What a unique find, Ryan.
I love
what
this.
What else we got in here? Oh, my God. Look, these logos are on point. Again.
One for you, Ryan.
Do you say that because it's a, okay, so it's a little bit bigger than what we just held up. What is that supposed to be?
Great night shirt for me.
I am 100% fan of these logos, and so, the material, I'm in on this. I know that this is a whole promo thing, but even if they weren't.
You mean the fact that we've done 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes, you're in.
Oh, I don't care. What do I care? Yeah. Again, so when you're listening to this, and if it's Saturday at homefieldapparel.com, all one word, promo code GopherGridiron, 15% off your first purchase. I dare you to go on this site this weekend or whenever you end up getting to this, homefieldapparel.com, and look at the Minnesota section and look at these logos and think to yourself, boy, I haven't seen this in the store in a long time. Oh my gosh, look at that one. I'm telling you, these logos and this is unbelievable. This is so fun.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome. So if it's you, whether it's your kids or your better half, again, Liz, for the last time here, I mean, we're now at, I think, the end of it. What do you think of the material? Again, if you're thinking about it for, hey, my birthday's coming up here, Luke. I got a birthday in less than a month now. I'm almost 29. What are you thinking?
Oh, I'm definitely going to get you the remaining shirts that you don't have.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How many final thoughts on our apparel here?
I would give it a 10 out of 10, Ryan. Like we talked about, definitely not going to see this on everybody in the stadium. Definitely stands out, unique. It's soft. It's easy breezy. I would definitely sport one of these.
I can already tell you, I won't be able to wear any of these. These will all become night shirts, and they will all become, if I put them on, hey, you're stretching it out. So for the last time, I know Luke's still waiting for his. It's homefieldapparel.com, promo code GopherGridiron, all one word. Well, guess what? 15% off your first purchase. Again, I dare you to go there and look at these designs. I'm telling you, these are all incredibly unique designs, and everybody here knows. You see the same things in the stores, and that's great, but why not stand out amongst your friends? So homefieldapparel.com, promo code GopherGridiron.
All right, Ryan, we're back to talk a little bit of offensive preview. It's been a while.
You're just tired. I think you're tired from listening to us. I am serious, though. Like, we did, you know, obviously with the home field apparel stuff. We stopped recording. She immediately put, like, all the shirts on, and then she walked away with the sweatshirt on saying, this is now mine, and she just left. So I said it on record. I'm saying it on, I'm never going to see those things again. So yeah. I was telling Luke in the pre-production meeting, I feel like we just talked about the offense, but in reality, it's been like 3-4 months.
Yep.
Now, nothing has really happened in those 3-4 months that I've been able to see with my own two eyes. But I think it's time to kind of get everybody back in the mode of here's where things are at. We'll go for football, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. You know, typically when we do these, we kind of go position by position. We talk about, if this is your first time listening, we go position by position. We obviously talk who are going to be projected starters, where you're going to find depth, and where you're hoping to see some guys take steps to improve. We usually end with quarterback because that's mostly what you guys want to hear about. we tend to really enjoy talking about offensive line, and I think that's the strength of this team, outside of maybe running back coming in this year. So I want to start there. Offensive line is going to be a very experienced group. You're effectively returning five starters. Really, actually, you're effectively returning like six starters, right? I know that Dunlop was injured last year, but he started his sophomore year. Probably would have been projected to start. I know he's coming off an injury, but did play in the spring game. But, you know, they've got depth here. It gets scary after the top six, but they've definitely got depth.
I mean, I think we can I think this is the deepest offensive line Minnesota has seen since, on paper anyway, since probably the Mason years.
Yeah.
I swear to God. I mean, I think you can go deeper than six, but my projected starting five right now would be Sam Schluter at left tackle, where he's been for, I think this will be his
third year
starting.
Yeah, it should be third.
So he was at right tackle before. You'll have Connor Olson at left guard, who has started like 39 straight games or something crazy. You got John Michael at center, who has started the last two seasons. You'll have Blaze Andrews will kick back into guard at that right guard spot, and then you'll have the Australian monstrosity that is Daniel Faalele. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, Luke, where does that put Curtis Dunlap? Well, folks, remember, Curtis Dunlap tore his Achilles like 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and he did practice this spring, and he did, and he went full contact, but he's your sixth offensive lineman for that package, and that's going to be an obvious upgrade over Nathan Beau. But yeah. And we're getting back into the discussion I got with my Gopher Illustrated board like a month or two ago, where I said that projected starting five because I believe it to be true. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, Curtis will start. I go, where are you slotting in Curtis?
Yeah.
Well, and like the consensus would be, I think we talked about this, like people are like, well, over Connor Olson.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
Connor Olson's not going to be benched in that scenario.
Let's keep in mind too, they like to play six offensive linemen from time to time.
They do. And that's where Curtis will slide in. If there's an injury to a guard, well, then Curtis gets to slide in there and they'll kick out Andrews to tackle and we'll kind of go from there. But your backup tackle would be, so let's run through it. I mean, your sixth offensive lineman, Curtis Dunlap, he's your backup guard. Your backup center would either be Connor Olson or John Michael. If something happens, it's Carter Shaw, the Utah State transfer, mm-hmm. who played in 20 games and started 20 games the last
him.
2 years.
Yeah.
And then your eighth offensive lineman would be Ariante Ursary,
yep.
who Minnesota is incredibly high on. And then your ninth and tenth would be like J.J. Gaudet and Nathan Beau, who both saw some time last year. So, I mean, they feel like they have depth. Now, I don't want to see the depth. Having depth is great to have. I mean, it reminds
me of...
It's
a great problem to have.
I feel like we're having... I'm a big Gleeman and the Geek listener.
I know.
And I always enjoy, like, Bonus and Gleeman will talk about in the preseason, like, how are these guys going to get at bats? And then you get, like, a month into the season, it's like, they don't have enough depth. Now, knock on wood, this has been an incredibly durable unit the last couple of years.
Definitely. Durable to an extent. If they get injured, they get injured before the season starts or at the very end of the season. That's the difference.
That is fair because we've seen Faalele and Dunlap. But, I mean, Schluter and Olson and Andrews have been incredibly durable, and I'm hoping that it holds up for another year because we're talking about a projected starting five. It's got like 100 and I did the math, like 140 collegiate starts combined. I mean, these where we're talking, and the beautiful part about it is you have Schluter and Olson in year six, Andrews and John Michael in year five, and Faalele in year four. We're finally at a point where we're not starting third and second and first year players in the Big Ten West because that doesn't translate to wins in the Big Ten West. You need to get old and you need to get experienced on the lines. And we'll get into the defense next week, but you're talking about a bunch of sixth and seventh and fifth year players on that line.
Yeah.
So I feel good about this line. And I know that Brian Callahan does too. I mean, we talked about the future of that unit. We can get into that in 6 months. I mean, the hope would be this offensive line, because I think they're a good offensive line. We've talked about this with Derek. And I think Derek's the one who made the point to you and I that when they go against middling teams, so you're talking about the Marylands and the Nebraskas and those non-conference opponents. Mm-hmm. They kick the crap out of them. And Minnesota runs the ball for like 6 yards a clip, then 300 yards, and they move mass. But it's that my thing, and I asked Brian Callahan this in my interview, was what has to happen for this unit to take that next step against the teams like Iowa and Wisconsin, where Minnesota, I wouldn't say gets destroyed, but they're average. I mean, if this isn't the year where your offensive line, Brian Callahan, takes that next step against the Iowas and the Wisconsins and the Northwesterns, the teams that you have to beat to win the West, I mean, that's where Callahan, I mean, here's how he responded to that. I don't necessarily agree with that. Sometimes the scores are misleading, but we're narrowing the gap on them, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can read the whole article on Gopher Illustrated, but he just essentially said, we're going to keep our heads down and keep the main thing the main thing, and we got to produce if we're going to beat Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yep.
So I feel good about this unit. You should feel good about this unit. You know, again, your sixth, seventh, and eighth offensive linemen, and Curtis Dunlap and Carter Shaw and Ariante Ursary, I mean, you should feel very good that if an injury happens, I wouldn't say that it's they're going to slide in and they're going to continue to play at whatever the high level was that starter was, but it's not going to be a drastic, because we also didn't even talk about there. I didn't even mention Axel Rushmeyer.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he saw significant playing time last year.
He started last year. I mean, I totally just forgot.
And the other thing that we should mention is Ursary played last year and actually looked pretty good, right? Like actually had moments and flashes where you're like, oh, okay, I see what we have here, right?
So again, you have Axel and you have Dunlap on the interior with Shaw there, and then if something happens to one of the tackles where Andries just can't slide out, you're going to get to see Ariante Ursary.
Or you don't have to have him slide out, but okay.
I'm telling you, that's what would happen.
Yeah, I know.
If something happens to Falele or something happens to Schluter, it's going to be Andries, you slide to the tackle, and Curtis Dunlap, you slide in.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, yeah. Let's shift outside of offensive line, and let's talk tight ends. This is a group I think I'm sneaky high on, actually. Co-Keefe comes back. I think there were questions whether or not he would come back, right?
There's a decision making going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. I think there were questions whether he was going to come back. He's coming back. Obviously, he caught a touchdown pass early against Michigan. Additionally, he was able to be that serviceable sixth offensive lineman at times, but very strong. And then you've got Brevin Spanford, who I don't know who's higher on Brevin Spanford than you.
Stop.
Yeah. Who's hiring him?
I mean, to be honest, probably Clay Patterson.
Yeah, okay.
But it's about him, and then it's me. I know Mike Sanford loves him too.
Yeah.
But
okay,
the point remains, like, is this the year they involve them?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a good question.
Is Co-Keith and Bryce with him and Brevin Spanford going to see the ball?
Ask Sanford if he'll let Simon call plays, because you know that Simon involves Bryce with him, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be a fantastic tight end unit, especially run blocking-wise.
Right.
Co-Keefe is just the son of a bee, incredibly physical. I think for my money, this is my 10th year now covering the team, I think he's the best run blocking tight end that Minnesota's had in my 10 years covering the team. I mean, he is an angry ginger. That's what the nickname is, Mr. Co-Keefe. And Jerry, I hope you're listening to his father. It's just... he plays with his hair on fire, and he has played, and he's incredibly tough. You know, I hope that the head injuries stay out of it, and he's able to play 13 games, and his body's able to hold up through all the different ailments because he plays so physical.
Have I showed you the picture of my son dressed up as Koki for Christmas as an infant?
No.
Or not Christmas,
you
Halloween.
Have
Halloween.
Not.
I've never
seen this?
I've definitely messaged it to Jerry before. It's good stuff. I'll send it to you too. But it won't go on social media because my son's not allowed on social media. Just
sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So I'm high on Co-Keefe. I think you should involve him more in the passing game. Minnesota tried to against Wisconsin, and Tanner didn't get the throw there, but
yeah.
But you've also got Bryce with him, who I think is going to be more expected of here in year six. But I mean, this has to be the year, right? For Brevin.
It's
gotta
be.
It has to be.
I kind of want to say if it's not now, it's probably never, right? And the
I mean, it's year four now. I mean, it's can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
If you told me Brevin Spanford's healthy, I would tell you the ceiling is as high as we've seen athletically from a tight end since Max Williams. This kind of leads into the wide receiver discussion where
I want one more point on the tight ends before we go into the wide receivers.
No. Yeah, we can stick here. The point I'm trying to make is like everybody's like, well, who's going to catch passes, you know, without Bateman?
Yeah.
It's like, because the wide receiver three role has traditionally been one that, I mean, catches, say, 30 balls. Well, I think Spanford just flexes out.
Sure.
And you can have him out there be a mismatch because he's too big and too fast for a linebacker, and he's too tall for a safety to be on him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think, like, you can flex out Brevin.
Mm-hmm.
But Brevin has to stay healthy. That is the number one thing that has to happen for this thing to go. If Brevin's healthy going into late August, I'm telling you, it's going to be fun to watch between Keith Witham and Span Ford, and then you'll be able to see why Zeta's Nick Callerup mix in on special teams,
mm-hmm.
and we'll kind of see how it continues to play after that. But again, it's another unit that the sixth year thing where Schluter and Olsen coming back plays huge dividends with mm-hmm. that extra year. Now you get Keith and you get Witham back. Yeah, I'm okay with 23-year-old tight ends in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Especially for that final 3-4 game stretch. Oh yeah.
And they've got versatility, right? So they've got the, you know, there are different types of tight ends, right? There's the pass catching yes. one, you've got Brevin Spanford, you've got Keith that's the run blocking, he can also catch passes. Bryce Wisdom's probably somewhere more in the middle of those two. But keep in mind, they had Seth Green transfer out because Seth Green knew he wasn't going to get to play. And he, like, you know, he legitimately had a role as the Wildcat quarterback, and he wanted an opportunity to play tight end and just knew he wasn't going to get featured enough.
Correct. That is 100% what happened. Is he didn't want to be the Wildcat quarterback anymore.
Don't want
to be a wide receiver. And I don't either. That's a lot of banging.
It's
just into big bodies up front.
And if you really believe that you have an opportunity to play pro ball of some kind, he had to play at a different position, right? And he had to be able to get something on tape, and it wasn't going to happen at Minnesota probably.
So now he's at Houston.
Yeah.
Going to be playing some kind of hybrid role, and all the best to him.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, this is another unit where on paper, if you told me Witham, Keefe, and Spanford played 13 games, I'd tell you this offense is going to be like 2019 prolific with points.
Yeah. I think it's reasonable to assume that. Okay, let's actually segue and talk wide receiver. I think this is the biggest question mark we have on offense. I felt better after the spring game. Ottman Bell was ridiculous. He's obviously wide receiver number one. Mm-hmm. I'm high on Daniel Jackson. We've talked about that. I think he's going to make a massive leap, assuming he stays healthy. And there's always that disclaimer in college football. I think he's going to take a massive leap in year two. And there are some guys I know that you're very high on, that didn't get a lot of run, and you hyped up in coming into last season that didn't get a lot of run, but you know, there are other, probably some freshmen that are going to play. I'm thinking of the Texas wide receiver that came in as a spring edition. People are super high on after the spring game. I don't know if he gets run, but Brady Boyd. Yeah. Sorry. Couldn't think of the name off the top of the head, but all this said, a lot of question marks here, and it could be actually okay, but there are just so many unknowns at this point. We need to get some tape, and we need to get a reasonable sample size to know what we're going to have.
Right. I will feel better about this receiver room this time next year, because Ottman Bell may or may not be here. But the point I'm trying to make is you look at the receiver room right now, you know what you have in Ottman Bell, very good contested catch winner. And then you have a bunch of what in the freaking world do we have? Because you have all freshmen eligibility wise.
Yeah, I disagree with you in what do we have. I know Daniel Jackson was something like, you know, like maybe 15, 20 catches. But I think he's better than
Daniel that. Jackson is. I mean, I talked about it, I think a few months ago, that I had questions like, should people be writing in Daniel Jackson as wide receiver two with a pen? Well, from someone who spent a lot of time around the staff in the last month at different camps and asking questions of different things, Daniel Jackson is wide receiver with a pen, in my mind, wide receiver two. So the question becomes, now what? Is it going to be Dalen Wright, the Texas A&M kid? That they think that they found something in him. He's certainly a different skill set than what they have. He can be your down-the-field stretching X guy. Will it be him? Will it be Michael Brown-Stevens, who caught the touchdown against Wisconsin? Will it be one of the younger guys like Brady Boyd and Lameke Brockington, who showed out here this spring? You know, will it be another one of, I guess, quote-unquote, my guys in Doug Emelin, who battled through some different injury type of things in the spring and last fall? If he's healthy, I think he can certainly play a role as well. But that's where these guys just need experience. Like Daniel Jackson, you mentioned it. I mean, he plays a couple hundred snaps last year, a few hundred maybe. They just need reps. They need experience. They need to go against similar quality cornerbacks in the Big Ten. And that's where I think this year will be a very good learning opportunity for Dalen Wright, for Doug Emelin, Daniel Jackson, Michael Brown-Stevens, Brady Boyd, Lameke Brockington. We'll see how it all works out there. But I just feel like, I think wide receiver will be fine. But that's, again, where I brought it back to the Brevin Spanford thing. I think they're going to do some different things with that quote-unquote wide receiver three spot, where it could be Spanford flexed out with Keefe on the inside. Maybe you put in Dalen Wright there to try to stretch the field. Maybe you put in Michael Brown-Stevens to try and do some different things in the slot. Maybe you try to give one of the younger guys like Emelin or Boyd or Brockington some experience there as well, because they all have different skill sets, but it's going to come down to a month from now in fall camp. Who's healthy? Who continues to take a step forward? Because the bar for Matt Simon in terms of what he demands from those guys is incredibly high. And I mentioned, I mean, I look at the scholarship chart right now. I think there's like 10 freshman wide receivers in terms of eligibility on scholarship. It's insane.
Yeah.
So they just need to get reps and get experience. But you're right. When you let off with, this is the one we have most question marks about, certainly. And they're just going to have, I think from game one, or I guess, I mean, they're going to be going against Ohio State corners. So from game one to game 13, I think you're going to continue to see this wide receiver room figure it out the more reps they get game after game. And I think that's a good thing for the offense looking forward.
Yeah, and that's been a consistent thing we've seen in the PJ Fleck era, right, is especially in wide receiver, they get better and get better. Then again, they've had some very skilled players, right, two NFL guys. They do need to get better.
Like Ottman Bell is a good, I mean, to you know, he's a good college football receiver. He's not Rashad Bateman. He's not Tyler Johnson.
No. He's like a fringe NFL guy, probably.
I think that's a good place to probably say where he is right now.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And that's okay. And he can outperform that. And we'll tell you if he does. But like the point is, they need other guys to step up because you don't have that generational talent there to kind of be the alpha in this offense.
Yeah. The question that I have, the biggest question mark that I have here is more or less, you know, the last 3 years, Bateman's been that downfield vertical threat, the one that is going to, you know, take the top off, scare, you know, you have to account for him. I don't think we have that at the moment. I know that Crabb can do some of that, but that's not his strength.
I don't think that's what they're going to ask him to do. Now, right. You saw them do that in the spring game. You saw them do it at times last year. But I think that's where Dalen Wright can present something different, because that's where Dalen Wright is going to win. Is Dalen Wright, you don't want to have a lot of, you know, if you were like Dalen Wright and Kristen Hoskins, couldn't be any more different in terms of where they win. Like Kristen Hoskins is incredibly east-west. He wants to get you moving laterally. Dalen Wright, he wants nothing to do with, you know, things laterally. He is a skinny post. He is a slant and go. He is, let's get vertical and let him run.
Because and that's
where
need.
He shines.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that's where he could slide in and potentially be a difference maker.
And just to kind of pull this all together from the passing game before we get into, you know, running back and quarterback, I am interested to see how they use Brevin Spanford, assuming he is healthy, if he can be a vertical seam threat, right? Because that is another way that you can get vertical. Now, we're not saying, like, you know, 40, 50 yard bombs, but what we are saying is they,
you could just wide dump it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just play action, wide dump. He catches it 10 yards. He catches it right behind the linebackers.
Yep.
And he gets 15, 20. Mm-hmm. And that's what Iowa and Wisconsin have done for years.
Mm-hmm.
Or just play action boot, and there's Brevin rolling across or Kokeef rolling across. Mm-hmm. That's where you can start to use the tight ends more, because with all the ambiguity at that young wide receiver three position, that's where I think you can see the tight end start to step up a little bit.
Yeah, and I see, like, I think back to that first Michigan game on Kokeef's touchdown, right? I kind of remember the play a little
perfect
bit
example.
where he yeah. actually comes across, you know, from across the formation into fill, yep. they flood the zone, right? And then he ended up being the one unaccounted for the touchdown. I think that that's a way you can still get vertical, especially against that zone. It's maybe not a vertical, like, go, but it's a way that you can flood the zone and get 15, 17 yards.
Luke, I can honestly say I love when you talk football to me. Oh yeah.
Some people don't love it, but and that's okay. You know, my hot takes aren't for everyone. Okay, let's talk a little bit of not wide receiver. Let's talk running back.
Yep.
I mean, I'm really high.
It's the Mo show for one more round.
I'm really high on Mo. I mostly just want to see his apparel right now. I don't really care about anything else. I want to see his name, image, and likeness apparel. I just got to see it. Have they sent you any influencer stuff yet?
Has Mo Ibrahim
sent
me, of all people, any influencer? To be honest, folks, Mo and I are good. Like, I mean, I've interviewed him countless times by now. I don't know if he knows. I haven't asked him. You know, in 2 weeks, I should ask him at Big Ten Media Days. I should ask him, like, do you know what I said about you early in your career? And I would be curious to know if he knows. Anyways, I mean, Mo is 517 collegiate carries and 5.5 yards per carry.
Yeah.
He is the best inside zone runner I have seen. He is the perfect fit for this offense. The question to me is, how does Fleck play this? Because he cannot handle 30 touches a game.
No.
There's just no way.
No, and he shouldn't. I'm okay with 30 touches a game, assuming he averages like 21 or 18.
In the second half?
21 or 18 for the first 11 games, right? And you're playing, you're getting game 12 and you need 30 touches. We just can't have a game like Maryland where he was just
out of gas.
Yeah, right. We can't have that again.
No, and that's where, I mean, so myself, you and I have talked about it. I asked Kenny Burns. I asked Mike Sanford. Kenny, Mo's your workhorse. How many touches is realistic? Mike, Mo's your workhorse. Like, and both of them said he's our bell cow. That's what they described as, the bell cow back. And Kenny said somewhere around like 25 to 30. Now, Kenny Burns is the running back coach. But the way Kenny phrased it to me, he was like, yeah, that's a big number. But the thing we have to do, and by we, him, have to do better is spelling Mo. So say there's a drive. Minnesota goes 11, 12 plays in a scoring drive. Mo runs the ball 7 times. Well, how about you give him the next series off and give it to Potts and give it to Cam Wiley? Mm-hmm. So that Mo can get some rest on them legs, because if you're going to have the season you think you're going to have, where Minnesota's, you know, say around that 8-win mark, 9-win mark, maybe, you know, if things break fortunate for them and they figure things out on defense, but we'll talk about that next week. It's going to be on the legs of Mo, because that's where it has to be. And that's where flex trestle ball offense needs it to go. So, yeah, you have an offensive line that is incredibly experienced, and same with the tight end unit. But Mo is the Big Ten running back of the year. He's the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, while I think that, I mean, you know me. Like, I'm high on Cam.
Trey Potts.
I'm high on Trey Potts. Yeah, I think he's your bell cow back in 22. I mean, I think he really turned some heads here this spring. And I think Cam Wiley can be a compliment to him. But I think those are the three you're going to see now. I know I've gotten some questions. Well, what about Kai Thomas?
Yeah.
The 4-star. Well, I mean,
he was injured.
He's been injured.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're still trying to figure out what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, again, I asked Kenny Burns, I go, you know, Kai's been banged up. What do you need to see from him? And they just, you know, he's very dynamic. And that's where Kenny actually compared him to Mo quite a bit. And where they don't exactly shine, like Mo and Kai don't shine necessarily when it's the underwear Olympics. But when the pads come on, that's when both of them go.
Yeah.
So he's continuing to adjust to the speed of the game. I still think he needs another year. He needs to stay healthy first and foremost. But, I mean, it's going to be the Mo show, and it's going to be Treyson Potts, and it's going to be Cam Wiley. We'll see. I don't know what role Bryce Williams has in this. Like, where do you throw him in? Like, third down? Pass protector? I'm not entirely sure. I just, there's a lot of snaps that they're going to give Mo. And so what do you do with, say, the remaining 20% or 15% of running back snaps? Because Potts and Wiley need some snaps as well.
Mm-hmm.
But where does Bryce Williams fit into this?
Well, I mean, you always talk about here in Minnesota, given Mason's era here, you need a spare and a pair. And I think right now you've kind of got slotted in. You've got Potts and Mo as your pair, and then you've got Cam Wiley as your spare. And then I think that leaves little to nothing for Bryce Williams. But he had some success his freshman year, but he needs things to kind of come together and gel.
I just think he needs an injury because you know, like the pair and the spare. Now, again, this podcast is higher on Treyson Potts than maybe some others, but
sure.
I think you pairing them together is a very good analogy because Mo is north-south and Treyson Potts is east-west. And that's where Cam Wiley, while he is 5 inches taller than Mo, he's also a one cut and go back.
Yeah.
Like that's why he is, you know, technically the direct backup for Mo.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's going to be interesting because again, I feel great about running back. I mean, I do. I think Potts and Wiley have shown some things. You still have Kai Thomas there. You still have Bryce Williams. You got Bucky Irving, who I would be absolutely, just because I know people love to play the drinking game with this, I would be absolutely gobsmacked if Marquise Irving played more than 4 games, and I don't even know how he would play outside of many injuries.
Yeah.
So
let's talk injuries, though. I think we can't gloss over the fact that Trey Potts does have trouble staying on the field. So you do have to have some depth there. That's where you can have an Irving or you can have a Bryce Williams, right?
If Potts can't go, then Bryce Williams slides in.
Yeah, right.
Or Cam Wiley pulls a hammy. Yeah. Bryce Williams slides in.
Right.
Heaven forbid something happens to Mo, though.
Yeah. Oh, heaven forbid, for sure. It would get, I mean, 2022 would be coming faster than we kind of anticipated.
I mean, I don't think it would be that. I mean, again, Mo is an incredibly talented running back, but Minnesota still has a very good offensive line, correct, a very good tight end unit. Like, would there be a drop in play? Certainly. But I don't think Potts and Wiley are anything like, you know, I was talking to Justin Gard about this. Like, in the Fleck era, or like, it's been pretty good running backs.
Yeah, Rodney or even, Smith, Shannon Brooks.
Or even like it's been since like, and I don't mean to you know, talk ill, but like it's been since like the DeJuan Bennett and like Donnell Kirkwood days where I was like, they're fine. Like they're just fine though.
Yeah.
And that's where you've seen like David Cobb, Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks, Mo Ibrahim now.
I mean, you've
seen a lot of good running backs.
But you have to keep in mind that it wasn't just like one guy. It was multiple guys because there were injuries there, right? Rodney Smith was out for a year, and they were able to just have guys step in and have pretty good years, whether it was Shannon Brooks or Mo Ibrahim or, you know. And Shannon stepped in as a redshirt freshman and was phenomenal from the start. I mean, he was underappreciated.
Oh, Shannon Brooks, when he was healthy, I mean,
or he was a true freshman. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He was incredible. I mean, I will never forget his runs against Purdue.
Yeah.
Where he throws the safety like 15 yards down the field. He absolutely throws him to the ground. And then he ends up meeting him again 50 yards down the field and just barrels through him.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine being that safety and just having being incredibly disrespected on national television, not only once on what you know is going to be a highlight touchdown drive, but twice?
Yeah.
And that would be demoralizing.
And Rodney Smith, as a true Redshirt freshman, came in too and was phenomenal, right? They basically went from David Cobb to having Rodney Smith for a full season, and then Shannon Brooks came in his redshirt or his freshman year and played right away. So they've had a luxury of riches in some ways, and I think in some ways they were able to kind of find diamonds in the rough too. I don't think anybody was super high on Mo Ibrahim. You weren't. Like, I'm not trying to, that's not shade I'm throwing at you. But he exceeded expectations. I don't think anybody thought Shannon Brooks was going to be as good as he was. I don't think anybody thought Rodney Smith was going to be, especially coming off the knee injury, coming in his true freshman and then redshirt freshman year.
Yep. So, I mean, it's been a very good time to be a fan of running backs wearing the maroon and gold.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's going to remain that way in 2021 and going into the future.
Okay, we got to talk quarterback. I think that it is fairly obvious that, you know, Tanner Morgan's going to get the lion's share of the snaps there, barring some sort of injury. He's earned the equity. There are people on the Zach Anakstead train. I'm sure there are going to be some people that are on the Ethan Kaliak-Manis train, just because now he will be in uniform, because they just see the stars and they're like, well, obviously he's going to start. But the reality is, this is Tanner Morgan's job. The only way he loses it is probably injury. He could play poor enough, but I probably don't see that happening. He's just such a game manager. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the Sanford Morgan thing at length, and I'm with Luke. I mean, I don't see a way Zach Anakstead becomes a starter. I really, truly don't believe there's a battle in camp at all. And that's fine. And that's the reality, is if Tanner doesn't play well enough, he's not going to have the job for long. If he does play well enough, well, Minnesota's probably going to win a lot of football games. And that's where, I mean, the other thing is, and I'm biased because I know the Morgan family well now, and Tanner's father, and, you know, if you're listening to this right now, if you're a spiritual person at all or not, you know, just think some positive thoughts about Ted, Tanner's dad. He's going through a lot of hardship right now, and I don't know what it's going to be looking like here in the coming weeks and months. But I mean, that's another thing though. Like, imagine trying to play football when, you know, your dad's in not great health. Like, especially for like a young kid like he is. Again, I know Tanner looks like a 40-year-old insurance agent, but I mean, he's still in his early 20s and trying to figure that all out. But that's where I talk with Mike Sanford, and I legitimately asked him, okay, you know what Tanner does well now. How do you change it? Because last year, it wasn't the cat's meow. Is that what the kids still say?
I don't know. Did you ask him about did you ask him about Jordan Love yet? Because that still hasn't quite worked out with Green Bay either. So
it's funny because Jordan Love actually did come up, and that's where he was comparing Ian Book to Jordan Love, two guys that he recruited,
sure,
two guys that he coached.
He didn't recruit Jordan Love he didn't recruit Jordan Love to Utah State.
No, just inherited him. You know, the funniest part is, I think when he was at Boise State, I think Mike Sanford was at Boise State when Jordan Love was in high school, and I don't believe Mike decided to recruit him. But then he ends up getting him at Utah State here and there.
Yeah.
But that's where he was kind of, and how this even became a part of our discussion was, we were talking about Tanner, and he talked about how Jordan Love thrives in the gray area. Like, he doesn't want black and white. He just wants to know the logistics of it. Mm-hmm. And then he'll make the creative play from there. Where Ian Book is a lot more like Tanner Morgan, probably a lot more athletic than Tanner, but
yeah,
he needs it black and white. He needs, you know, you to tell him what to do. And that's where you look at Minnesota's two quarterbacks for this year, and Zach Anakstead and Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan needs it in the black and white. And now Mike Sanford knows that, where Zach Anakstead, if something were to happen, he wants it all in the gray area. So they're two totally different quarterbacks with how they kind of go about playing the game of quarterback. But I think that's where Sanford now knows that. Sanford hopefully can tailor the offense a little bit more to what the passing game needs to be. But again, even having that discussion, him talking about that, I mean, he, you know, this isn't just a, how do I want to phrase this? Like, he knows what the quarterback is thinking now and how he processes things and how he needs to speak to Tanner versus speaking to Zach in terms of playing the game of quarterback. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to take it a slightly different way. Like, one, Stanford has to know himself, right?
Sure.
And he also has to know his quarterbacks and then know himself enough to be like, I have to change myself to cater towards these quarterbacks.
Right. And that's where we get back into the discussion of he gets hired and then he gets no spring ball.
Yeah.
No summer, no fall.
Yeah.
He gets 3 weeks of practice and that's not enough to work with a quarterback to know how they view the game, how they see the game, how they process the game. So that's where you're hoping now that they had an entire normal offseason. They were thrown into the fire together. You're hoping that Stanford knows what Fleck wants, what Morgan wants, and then ultimately how Stanford can call a better game. So I do think it'll be Morgan. I do think it'll be Anikstead. But I also think the odds-on favorite, if the Wildcat sticks around, is Cole Kramer.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's close.
Yeah, I know that.
Like, Cole is the most athletically gifted of all these quarterbacks. And that's where, like, I asked Stanford about him. And that's where, so Stanford, when talking about Cole Kramer, the Eden Prairie kid, you know, that's where he made the comparison to Ian Book in terms of similar size profiles, incredibly athletic. And I thought it was interesting that he throws in, he's also very durably built. You don't say he's very durably built about a quarterback unless you're planning to run that SOB. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm hoping, and it's funny because I've actually talked with Tanner about, because this kind of leads us to the end here, where what is the one thing you, I, and Derek talk about? The RPO game and taking the effing ball.
Yeah. Well, know? we talk about that, and then we talk about their conservative nature, but that's totally separate things.
That's a separate thing. That's all Fleck, and kind of is what it is. But like, Tanner knows he needs to take the ball more. Stanford knows he needs to give Tanner the ability to take the ball more. And that's where I tell you, Tanner, I think this is going to surprise people. Tanner is among like the top 10, 15% in the 10-yard dash on the team. Like, again, you put him at 40, it's not going to be the same thing. But in what world is Tanner Morgan running 40 yards? Like, all you need is Tanner to pull the ball, keep it on his hip.
Hopefully a lot, actually.
Stop. Just like it's second and six. He pulls the ball, gets 8 yards, just scoots around the linebacker first down. You do that twice a game. Mo's going to just enjoy his life so much more.
You just got to keep him honest, man.
I know. So I think just to summarize things here, as we kind of come to the end here, this offense should be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it goes bad unless injuries ravage this team. Like, in that scenario, say it's not injuries. Okay, say it's not injuries. The passing game just has to just go Northwestern.
Yeah.
Where the quarterback can't get it there, the receivers are terrible, and they just can't figure out a way to move the ball down the field. I've seen Tanner Morgan do it.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand the passing game options aren't what they were in 19. Definitely understand that. And I'm not expecting this to be, the greatest show on Huntington Bank Stadium turf. Like, but I just think I think the offensive line's too good and the tight ends are too good and most too good that this offense, like, the ceiling is there certainly, but in terms of a floor, I mean, the floor is as high as it's been in theory offensively in the Fleck era. It has to be.
I think that how this goes bad, I think you're right on the passing game. I think the other thing is that they get too conservative and they run the ball three times in a row and they punt and their defense
inside
gets
zone, outside zone, inside zone.
And then their defense gets completely gassed and they don't have a defense. We'll talk more about that later. I'm not saying they don't have a defense, but they have to have a defensive identity. This is going to make or break the 2021 season. And if they're not able to, if they're not able to sustain long drives or, score quickly, I think it has the possibility to get bad. I think if they play from negative game scripts, they have the potential to struggle.
they need to be, and that now we're getting back to philosophical points about PJ Fleck offenses, because I look at the five road games this year.
Yeah.
Colorado, Northwestern, Iowa, Indiana, Purdue.
Dude, like Indiana's four of those, good too.
Minnesota will be only favored, I think, in one of those games.
Do you think they're favored in Colorado?
I don't know what they're going to do with Colorado, because Colorado was pretty good last year. Now, they got, I mean, we'll get into that later. They had their starting quarterback just recently going to the transfer portal.
Yeah.
But they have the reigning Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year running back, and it's in Boulder. Like, but, I mean, we're talking about, like, especially the three last three away games, at Northwestern, at Iowa, at Indiana. You have to play aggressive. And that's where it's going to be tightly contested in probably all three of those.
You got to shoot your shot, man.
In the words of Michael Scott, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. And they have to be aggressive, or else this is going to be another one of those what-if years where it's, you know, you get to, you know, bowl selection Sunday there in late November, and they're sitting there at 7-5, where you're thinking to yourself, boy, if they just could have finished it out against Northwestern, or this was finally the year they got the pig back in Iowa City, because Lord knows it's been way too long that they haven't won in Iowa City. And then you're thinking to yourself, yeah, 9-3 going into the bowl. Yeah, let's go. Or are you going to be sitting there like, well, what could have been with this offense? Because I just, I mean, I literally cannot see a way this isn't a bowl team first and foremost.
Yeah.
Because the offense is in, on paper is going to be so good, because they're incredibly experienced. And I think everybody knows what everybody does well at this point. So, I mean, I don't know if they will put up the gaudy stats that the 2019 team did, where they were like second in the Big Ten in points scored behind Ohio State. But they have the potential to be, and they should be better. It just all comes down to, again, philosophically, can Sanford and Fleck figure out what the right amount of gas should be being pressed on the pedal, so we don't have a Maryland situation like last year.
Yeah. You know? I think the other thing that I just think about a lot with this team is 2019, it wasn't good in the non-conference, right?
Oh, they were. I mean, everybody remembers how bad they were.
Yeah.
Like, they should have lost.
They should have lost that Georgia Southern against game.
Well, I mean, you could argue they should have lost South Dakota State, Fresno State, and Georgia Southern. Yeah. I mean, arguably, and then they figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, the defense kind of figured it out.
Yeah, but offensively, they got better.
Yeah, look at the first six games of the Big Ten schedule. You put up 31 against Purdue, 40 against Illinois, 34 against Nebraska, 42 against Rutgers, 52 against Maryland, and 31 against Penn State. If Minnesota at the end of the season is somewhere around 30 points per game, which I think that's a lofty goal, but I think it's good to have goals in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're in that 28 to 30 point total for conference points per game, I mean, they better be contending in the West, because if they're not, I don't know that Joe Rossi's still here.
Yeah. We probably got to look too at the fact that I haven't done a deep dive into the stats, but they got to find a way to get explosive plays. They have to manufacture explosive plays.
If I could stress to you one thing that Mike Sanford talked about, it's, I guess, two things. Number one, he wants to be incredibly efficient. He is big into the stats that way, and he knows that explosive plays win football games.
Yeah.
So they want to be able, like, Sanford is trying to figure out, okay, here are my playmakers. How do I get the ball in their hands for what they do best and have us create explosive plays? Because Minnesota can lull you to sleep with the inside-outside zone, but then you need to be able to take advantage of that in the passing game. Because once you start to get lulled to sleep, and once you get awoken by a couple of those explosive plays, that'll only help the running game that much more.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Ryan, if you've been looking to take the plunge into Gopher Illustrated, what's a great way, you know, to save some money on your Gopher apparel so that you can actually finance your introductory rate to Gopher Illustrated?
Well, first of all, GI is $1 for 30 days. I'll be honest, you can do that. But I believe we got a 50% off annual coming at Big Ten Media Days. I think it's important for me to be transparent with people. Like, I want you to come join Gopher Illustrated. We are as big as we've ever been. We're over a couple thousand members, which is insane to me, considering Minnesota came off a 3-4 football season. in a Big Ten basketball season where Luke's favorite coach got fired. So, I mean, if you are thinking about joining GI, we'd love to have you. It's $1 for 30 days. It's 50% off starting for, 36 hours on July 21st. We'd love to have you guys join. You get to have all the Ryan James and Ryan Burns and all the practice reports and everything that comes with a Gopher Illustrated subscription. But Luke alluded to it as well. I'm serious. Like, the home field apparel is so cool. Like, the logos are vintage things. And now vintage is back in, I think the kids would say. Like, these are logos in Minnesota gear I haven't seen at, like, Goldie's Locker Room or anywhere on the miscellaneous internet. And if you're going to get 15% off your first order, use the promo code GOPHERGRIDIRON, all one word, at checkout. That is promo code GOPHERGRIDIRON for 15% off your first order. We will be back next week to talk defense. And then I don't even know if I've told him. I'm not talking to you. I'm going to get Daniel House from Gophers Guru on the podcast because –
You think you can swing that? Are you even ready for two gingers to dominate you? We're going to outnumber you.
First of all, are we not doing phrasing? Because I don't know how I feel about two gingers dominating me.
I'm going to totally edit that out. Are you ready for two gingers outnumbering you on the podcast?
Well, if we're talking about two gingers whiskey, I could pour myself a couple fingers of that and enjoy the evening. But I think we're going to get House on the podcast here after Big Ten Media Days. And I think Luke should mediate because him and I've seen him in a couple camps here, have some differing opinions on this team. And I think it's healthy for people to hear different opinions outside of Luke and myself. And then as far as I know, I mean, then we're getting into August. We're going to be weekly again. And then we'll get into September, October, November. We'll be biweekly. And as far as I know, Luke, Derek Burns, my second cousin, is going to be back on the podcast now for what is it, like the fifth year?
Who knows, man? So, but let's hope it continues.
So we thank you guys for joining us once again. Again, the numbers have been, for a random Gopher football podcast, it amazes me that thousands of downloads that we get on every episode. But you guys are awesome. Luke, anything else before we talk more defense with the people next week?
No, it'll be fun to talk defense and the beloved special teams. Again, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.